Welcome to Common Sense Care, parenting your gender-confused child with truth and love. So-called affirmative care is the gender industry's one-size-fits-all answer for everyone who struggles with their identity. In no other area of medicine, psychology, or education is one treatment plan assigned to every person. At Partners for Ethical Care, we believe that each child is an individual and should be given the care that's most appropriate for him or her. So welcome back. I'm Maria Keffler.
And I'm Erin Brewer. And what is our topic today, Maria?
Today we are talking about Planned Parenthood and Planned Parenthood's role in gender care. This is a pretty weighty topic again. And I'm grateful that you've got a lot of expertise and experience with Planned Parenthood. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say about it.
Well, and I think it's hard for people to understand how Planned Parenthood has stepped into this role of being, I believe it's one of the country's biggest distributor of cross-sex hormones at this point. It's really making it a business model. And I think it's making a huge profit from this. And one of the things that I want to say is for people who have been familiar with Planned Parenthood in the past, that this is a new and different Planned Parenthood. This is not the Planned Parenthood of our, you know, when we were young adults. This is not your mama's Planned Parenthood. This is a Planned Parenthood that has embraced this gender ideology in a way that is very dangerous and giving away hormones in a way that is, I believe, incredibly irresponsible. They have adopted what is called an informed consent model, which sounds great. Informed consent is great. But actually what it is it's anybody, you or me, anybody can walk in there and get hormones simply by signing something that says that you understand the implications of taking the hormones.
Whether you understand them or not.
And here's the thing, is that there's actually no way for anybody to really understand the implications because they haven't been studied. This is all so new. You know, this is all experimental. And so for Planned Parenthood to be able to say somebody can make an informed consent is inaccurate. And the other thing that really concerns me is I've talked to a number of detransitioners who have gone to Planned Parenthood when they're in basically a psychiatric crisis. Either they're in a manic mode or they're profoundly depressed. They've just had a trauma. These are people who are really incapable of providing consent, who are able to walk into a Planned Parenthood clinic and get hormones the same day.
Yeah, I think in most healthcare settings, if a patient comes in, obviously in some sort of psychological distress, there's gonna be a referral maybe to a mental health care professional or some questions to kind of get at what mental state are you in right now. I think most ethical healthcare providers want to make sure that the patient is in a frame of mind to be able to make good decisions.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to bring that up because on some level, these medical interventions are self-harming. Mm-hmm. That they result in harm to the body. And so if you take that and then you take somebody who's having psychological distress, there's really no way that anybody can consent to that. And so I think it's really important for us to recognize that seeking these kind of treatments is, first of all, an indication of, you know, self-hatred, trying to run away from oneself, a real disassociation from the body. So that alone should raise red flags. But then if you add on top of that somebody who's had, you know, in some kind of acute distress, or having some kind of a mental health crisis, it's really unconscionable to provide them with interventions that are going to change them for life.
I believe healthcare providers, at least doctors, medical doctors, one of their oaths they take is first do no harm. And when I look at the things that are going on with gender care, puberty blockers, wrong sex hormones, surgeries that remove or alter sex characteristics, girls having their breasts removed, That is harmful.
Maria, one of the things that disturbs me is just how fully Planned Parenthood has adopted this transgender ideology, even though, as you said, it's harmful. Getting these interventions damages a healthy body. And it used to be, you know, before this gender ideology, that somebody who had gender dysphoria had to go through years of therapy before anybody would even consider, these medical interventions. And now we have it so that somebody can walk off the street, walk into a clinic and get these. And oftentimes they get the hormones that they're seeking before they've even had test results back from blood tests that would show whether or not it would be dangerous for them to take these hormones. And we have this, you know, we have young people talking about this, and it's really disturbing to me that a clinic would go this far. We have a clip from that just shows how completely absurd this whole ideology has gotten and how dangerous it's gotten.
Planned Parenthood is America's self-proclaimed number one provider of women's health care. We wanted to see just how all in they are.
It's true. I'm Stephanie, and I'm pretty sure I'm pregnant. So my partner Garrett and I are going to Planned Parenthood.
So Stephanie and quarterback Garrett scheduled a pregnancy test along with a follow-up with a nurse practitioner. And for good measure, we brought the urine of an actually pregnant woman along with us just to see how far the tolerance extends beyond, you know, medicine. Now, I know this may seem childish and stupid on the outset, but keep in mind that while a positive pregnancy test for a woman can come as great news, for a man, it's largely indicative of testicular cancer. So will Planned Parenthood do the responsible thing and let a man know that he could have potentially life-threatening cancer, or stick to their progressive guns and follow their code of conduct in regards to transgender patients?
So your test came back positive.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The only options we can give you is that we can give you the forms for the Medicaid if you want to go ahead and continue with the pregnancies.
Okay.
Give it up for adoption.
Sure.
The option of termination. We don't do them here.
Okay, you don't perform those here.
No, we don't.
Well, it's good to know that there are options. Now, to be fair, the nurse practitioner did have some questions and was seemingly concerned with potential health ramifications. As you can see, they can't even play by their own guidelines.
Were you assigned a female birth?
Do you mean if I was misgendered by a doctor when I was born?
Did they consider you a female when you were born?
I was misgendered at birth, yeah.
Okay.
I don't see how that's...
I mean, do you have... ovaries, a vagina.
But a little righteous indignation threw her off the scent.
Let me make really clear that I am not a woman in a man's body. Mm-hmm. I am a woman. I've always been a woman, and right. I'm currently living as a woman. So they did identify me. They misgendered me as a male when I was born.
At no point was there any mention of potential testicular cancer.
Wow. It is. It is ridiculous. And really troublesome, as he pointed out, a man who has a positive pregnancy test, that's indicative of testicular cancer. Yeah. And nobody told him that.
Yeah. And it's funny, I think, because it's so absurd. And it's also, as you said, so concerning. If you have somebody come in, they're going to get the wrong medical care if people don't acknowledge biology, if people don't acknowledge sex. And the fact that these are clinics that are set up ostensibly to provide health care, that they're willing to engage in this absurd narrative, even when it puts somebody's health at risk. And so our next clip is a lot more serious, and we're gonna hear from some young people who were able to access these, just go in and get them. The first young woman, she actually just walked in, got them. And now she has detransitioned and is feeling a lot of regret and justifiably angry at Planned Parenthood for having allowed her to get these. And then we also have some stories about how this is really becoming a business model for Planned Parenthood. This is no longer about healthcare. This is about actively recruiting people to come on in, get your hormones. We're here for you.
You have to be 18 years old to buy cigarettes and 21 to gamble or buy alcohol, but minors living with a gender identity issue can undergo hormone therapy before becoming a legal adult.
Planned Parenthood is hoping to make life a little bit easier for the transgender community. They are now offering transgender hormone replacement therapy for those under the age of 18.
We decided that it was time for us to expand the care we were providing.
Planned Parenthood is reminding everyone in Central Illinois that they offer hormone therapy for people looking to transition. Now, the organization says that they began this program back in 2015 with Central Illinois in mind. Leaders say Central Illinois had a dramatic need for transgender services in the area. Planned Parenthood now offers this service at 17 locations all around the state. Leaders with Planned Parenthood of Illinois say people in search of this treatment can always find it at their clinics.
We are here for you. So Planned Parenthood remains willing and able to care for these patients. We want to be there as that safe place for you to come.
There are multiple avenues to pay for this treatment, including insurance and Medicaid.
I went through Planned Parenthood and they just ask you a bunch of sexual history questions, and then you can go pick up your prescription as well. Which they do it very weird. You can pick up your prescription before getting your blood test, which is kind of yikes.
My experience with Planned Parenthood was not necessarily a good one. I'm not happy with it. I'm not happy that I was just given hormones. If it wasn't just as easy as just walking in and signing a form for something that permanently changes your body for essentially the rest of your life in some aspects, I think, if it wouldn't have been so easy for me to just walk in, I don't think I probably would have transitioned if it just wasn't so easy just to willy-nilly on impulse just go and decide to take hormones.
It's just really troubling to me to see them advertising, to see that news clip where a news station is advertising for Planned Parenthood to bring more people in to get the gender treatments. That's just really upsetting.
Well, especially when there isn't any assessment to determine whether somebody's in the, a state of mind to be able to make this kind of decision. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the opposition, the transgender activists will talk about gatekeeping. And that's something that they talk about all the time, that there shouldn't be gatekeepers, that people should be able to access this intervention if they want to. And they act as if it's sort of a violation of their basic rights to have gatekeepers. And I think it's so important to push back on that, because the whole idea of gatekeepers in this case is we have trained medical professionals who are supposed to be looking out for our health and well-being. And there isn't any other case that I can think of where patients can walk in, tell the doctor what they want, and get it the same day without assessment. And imagine if I walked into my doctor and said, I really want some oxycodone. I haven't been sleeping well. Give it to me now. Is that doctor going to give me oxycodone? Well, I sure hope not.
I would hope not. Well, the whole issue with gatekeepers, in my understanding, my connotation of gatekeepers is a positive connotation. We have gates for boundaries, for safety. And just a gate is to keep things in, to keep them safe, to keep things out, to keep dangers out. And that's a good thing. And I think the way that they've reframed what a gatekeeper is as a negative thing is really indicative of the most basic underlying ethos of this ideology. We want no boundaries. We want no one can tell me anything about what reality is, about what I am, about what truth is. It's all me. I get anything I want, anytime I want it, and everybody needs to applaud it. And that's just irresponsible.
It's so dangerous. There was a case where I believe it was a young woman who came in who was pregnant, and she was complaining of stomach pain. But she told all the healthcare professionals that she was a male. And they didn't even consider that she might be pregnant because she was saying she was a male. And again, in this case, I believe that the baby died. This woman could have died as well if they hadn't gotten the appropriate care. when it comes to healthcare settings, it's really important for healthcare professionals to be honest, because the kind of care given to males and females is different. Mm-hmm. And so if you have doctors who are willing to pretend that a man can become a woman and vice versa, it becomes really problematic for receiving the best kind of healthcare and can be really dangerous as we've seen in these examples. And so I feel like people need to understand, I know that there are a lot of people who have sort of really good feelings about Planned Parenthood, that at some point in their life, they used Planned Parenthood to get through a rough time, to access healthcare when they couldn't afford it, you know, all sorts of reasons. They got maybe educational materials that were very important to them.
And I utilized Planned Parenthood when I was in college.
Yeah.
It was free healthcare, and that was very helpful for me in college.
Yeah, yeah. And I used them a lot of times. I volunteered for them for about 10 years. I helped with a fundraiser that they did, donated money to them. And when I was younger, there was a time where I didn't have any insurance and I was able to get just basic health care there. And so I think a lot of people have very strong, you know, warm feelings towards Planned Parenthood because it was able to provide them services when they really needed them. This is like something people have such strong feelings about. And now they have to realize that a clinic that they used to donate to or volunteer for, that they thought was doing good in the world, is actually doing something incredibly destructive.
It reminds me a lot of the way that I feel about public schools.
Yeah.
I was a teacher. I was licensed as a public school teacher. I have advocated for going to your neighborhood school, for not self-segregating. I sent my kids to a Title I primary elementary school, because I really felt like you make community where you are. You know, I really was a public school advocate, and seeing what the public schools have done in the last few years around gender ideology, I've now pulled all my children. I homeschool all three of them now because I don't trust the public school anymore. And that's heartbreaking to me. Just yesterday, I spoke to a teacher, a veteran teacher of almost 30 years, who is planning to leave his profession even before he gets his retirement, because he cannot ethically continue to work for this organization. And I feel that way about Planned Parenthood too. Like, this is not the Planned Parenthood of my college years.
Yeah, and I think that realization is really hard. It's like you have to completely have, you know, a shift in worldview. And it's really difficult for people who have supported Planned Parenthood, who had advocated for it, who have insisted, you know, that it's important to, you know, to fund it, to all of a sudden realize that this organization that they have supported wholeheartedly for so long has suddenly turned into the bad guy, is suddenly doing something that is really damaging to our society, to our young adults, to our communities. They are embracing an ideology. And I believe that they're doing it for profit. I believe that that's what's motivating this, because this is, you know, this is just booming profit. They're making so much money. And as I believe that as women are becoming more educated, they're not needing the other services that Planned Parenthood has provided historically. And we have the internet, so it's possible to get, you know, all that education right online. And I think they had to find a new business niche. And this is where they went. And it, you know, I don't know how to explain to people how horrible this is. I've talked to, you know, detransitioner after detransitioner who was just horrified and said, you know, I walked in, I was, you know, I was in a state of crisis. I walked in, I got the hormones, and it was the biggest mistake of my life. And I even have interviewed a mother who found out that her daughter was going to Planned Parenthood to get these medications, their daughter who had significant mental health issues as well as some developmental issues. The mother was so upset about it, she decided to check it out for herself. And again, this was a mother who had previously good feelings about Planned Parenthood. And she made an appointment, she walked in, and she was prescribed testosterone on her first visit. I've talked to detransitioners who've been given prescriptions without any kind of medical check at all. They usually take blood, but they'll give out the prescription before the results of the blood test are back. And there isn't the follow-up that is so important. When somebody is given, you know, a really powerful drug, it's really important to have good follow-up, and Planned Parenthood isn't providing it. It's like they're the drug dealer on the corner that's just giving out the drugs. And it's heartbreaking to a lot of people who have previously felt like Planned Parenthood was a really strong, positive organization.
I think it must almost feel like your husband or wife finding out that they're unfaithful to you.
That's exactly the analogy that I've used. Yeah, it's like feeling like your spouse has been unfaithful. That sinking feeling of, I thought I could trust you. I thought I could believe in you. I've given you so much over the years, especially people who have donated and volunteered time. It's just this sense of betrayal. And I think a lot of times that prevents them from seeing, because we know that there are wives who see the lipstick on the collar and they just ignore it because they don't want to go there. And I think
it's too painful. There's too much at stake. I had a boyfriend in college, my first serious boyfriend, and he stepped out on me. He was dating somebody behind my back. It wasn't a marriage thing, but looking back, there were so many red flags. There were so many things that I should have said, yeah, that's a little suspicious. Yeah, that I think there's a problem here. And I just didn't want to see it. And I think that's so common. We don't want to believe that someone we love or something that we trust could be so nefarious and be so underhanded.
Yeah. And one of the things that I want to just mention, and this is a little bit tangential, but in addition to giving out hormones, Planned Parenthood is also giving out something called PrEP, which is it's basically something you take so that you don't get HIV. And, you know, this might sound wonderful, but at one point I actually contacted a Planned Parenthood clinic and posed as a 14-year-old girl who was doing sex work. And they were counseling me as to how to get PrEP going behind my parents' back, that they were willing to provide this service for me. And so this is again, one of those red flags that they are, they're providing, in a case like that, I would hope that they would try to talk to the child and get them help and get them out of prostitution rather than, no, come on in, we'll get you prepped so that you can do this safely. I mean, to me, that's really disturbing.
Well, Erin, if parents realize that Planned Parenthood is not their friend, what do parents need to know going forward in order to protect their kids? How do we protect our children from what is apparently a predatory organization?
Yeah, and I think that predatory is the word. And one thing that most parents probably don't know is that Planned Parenthood is actively trying to infiltrate public schools and have been successful in California and possibly other places. I know for sure in California, where they're actually putting Planned Parenthood clinics within the schools, which to me is just horrifying. On so many levels, it's just a problem. But the other thing that Planned Parenthood is doing is creating educational modules for schools to use. And in these modules, they are really pushing this whole gender ideology. So teaching kids as young as kindergarten that they get to choose what gender they are. And I think this is really harmful. And most people don't realize how easy it is for Planned Parenthood to access their children. And you might understand some of this. I know you've done some investigation, but my understanding is that they offer these modules for free. And so the schools jump at the opportunity to use them.
Yeah,
who's been a public school teacher, you know how hard it is to put together lesson plans. And so if somebody puts one together for you, it's such a saving time, saving money.
And these lesson plans that they put together, they're beautiful. They're all packaged. Here's exactly what you do in the classroom. Here's all your worksheets. Here's all your manipulatives, which are, you know, like the things that you play with, the things you actually touch and use. And they provide all of that. And by the way, it's free. Here is a 45-minute lesson plan, all inclusive. It's free. It's beautiful. It's packaged. And yeah, these overworked teachers are going to jump at that and not maybe really realize what's in there. Mm-hmm. And this might be tangential too, but a few years ago, I was on the counseling committee for my kids' elementary school, which means I'd go in and talk with the counseling staff, find out what was going on. And the school counselor was saying that they wanted to have teachers practicing scenarios with kids, like what to do if, say you're at the park and a stranger comes up and says, hey, I can't find my puppy, can you help me? So the counseling department had written all of these scripts for having teachers role play stuff with kids for safety stuff. And they were trying to figure out how to get it into the day. And the teachers who were there were talking about how packed their days were. And they said, I know, we can keep those in our pockets. And when we're standing in line at lunch, we can practice them while we're standing in line. And I remember being horrified that these teachers had to squeeze important stuff into standing in the line in the hall time. Now, fast forward 5, 6, 7 years, they're now putting gender ideology into core classes. They're putting Planned Parenthood curriculum into the class time when teachers 5 years ago didn't have time to do basic safety role plays with kids during the school day.
Right. Yeah, it's really absurd. And again, it comes down to funding. Planned Parenthood used to be, you know, at least when I was younger, I used to think that they were this struggling organization that was, you know, could barely make it, but they were going to do everything they could to offer affordable care to you know, those who needed it. And now it's just this, it's this international, you know, business that is
raising,
they have so much money. And if this isn't enough to open people's eyes about what's happening with Planned Parenthood, another thing that Planned Parenthood is doing is that internationally, they are putting pressure on the UN and other international organizations to deny aid to countries if they are not willing to start indoctrinating their citizens into this gender ideology. And, you know, Planned Parenthood has, you know, all sorts of publications. They go into these communities that are, you know, they're very poor communities with very few resources, teaching this gender ideology and pushing the idea that kids should have access to puberty blockers, hormones, and surgeries. These are in communities where people are struggling to survive. They're barely even making ends meet. They're not eating enough. They don't have safe housing. They don't have basic medical care. And yes. Planned Parenthood is going in there and pushing this gender ideology, utilizing resources to teach this, and then trying to take important resources away from those who really need it to provide these unnecessary interventions.
You know, you're talking about this and it reminds me of the missionary model. Missionaries would go into developing countries, into poor countries, and bring resources. And they were doing that to provide aid and to love others, but it was also to bring the gospel with them. And when you feed people, then they're grateful that you fed them. They're more willing to listen to your message. This really sounds like having adopted the missionary model.
Well, and liberals tend to call it cultural imperialism, and they tend to be very scornful of it. And so it's very interesting to me that liberals now are embracing it. And I, again, when I say liberals, I count myself as a liberal. I have, you know, my whole life I had affiliated as a liberal, so I don't want to use that pejoratively. Mm-hmm. But that it's so ironic to me that the liberals, you know, condemn cultural imperialism, and yet that's exactly what Planned Parenthood is doing. They're going into third world countries and they're, you know, insisting that the aid is connected to this gender ideology. And how damaging. I mean, to me, this is exactly like a religion going in and insisting that the only way you get aid is if you buy into our religion. So it is cultural imperialism in the worst sense of the word.
Well, interestingly, a lot of missionary situations in the past, I'm thinking about some out west here in the United States. I know this happened with the Aboriginal people in Australia. Children were taken away from parents, put on compounds, and indoctrinated into the religion. They lost their own culture, they lost their own language, they lost their own dress because the religion was forced upon them. I don't see a lot of difference between what Planned Parenthood is doing.
No, this is very similar. Planned Parenthood is actively creating a divide between children and their parents. I don't know if Planned Parenthood encourages children to run away, but we know that this ideology encourages children to run away, which causes a whole host of problems. Just the fact that they're encouraging children to disassociate from their body and to seek medical interventions to make their body conform to some idea of how they want it to be rather than providing them mental services is incredibly concerning.
I think it's important to underscore that what you just said. We talked about this when we talked about trauma in our last video, but encouraging someone to believe that their mind is a different sex, a different gender than their body, that is codifying dissociation. That's encouraging dissociation and saying that dissociation is a healthy and correct way to live.
Yeah, it's just shocking. And so I think, for people to understand that Planned Parenthood is now a predatory and dangerous organization. Mm-hmm. And that really, you asked me, what parents could do to protect their kids. And one of them is keep them, keep Planned Parenthood out of your schools, but also really talk to your kids about the nature of Planned Parenthood, I guess. I mean, mm-hmm. if you have any concerns that your child might go to a Planned Parenthood clinic, try to get them into, a healthy environment where they're not going to be affirmed, get them to a therapist who can work with them. Because the minute they walk into that Planned Parenthood clinic, they're going to get exactly the interventions that they want. And these are life-changing. These aren't, some people, think they're just, oh, they're just hormones. And they might think, oh, they're just like, birth control pills, just hormones, no big deal. And first of all, when birth control pills first came out, they actually were a big deal because they had so much hormone in them. They did cause some problems. But second of all, unlike birth control pills, these are the wrong sex hormones and they cause permanent damage to your body if you take them. Testosterone is actually a controlled substance. It's considered dangerous because it's a steroid. It causes permanent damage. And again, it can exacerbate already present mental health issues and also cause others because it creates chaos within the body. And so I think parents need to understand and fundamentally also stop supporting Planned Parenthood. If you are a parent and you are concerned about this, if you're anybody who's concerned about this, stop donating to Planned Parenthood and tell them why. So don't just, withhold that check, but let them know that you have consistently been a donor and you will no longer donate because of what they're doing now.
I think that's a good point. And it's important for parents to recognize, we talked about this in a previous episode too, about what a cultic ideology this is. If your child has not yet been indoctrinated into this cult ideology, you're in a better position to really strengthen your relationship with that child and keep your child identifying with your family. Be on that child's side. Let that child know that you love them, that you care about them, that you are there for them. Because the way the gender industry is working, it is trying to separate kids from their parents. And then this ideology comes in and it puts a new identity on your child. And once that happens, the child's loyalties are with the gender industry and not with you. And that's a much more difficult place to attack this from.
And they know this and they're using the language. We're a safe place. You can come here and be safe. We're going to validate and affirm you. This is the language that Planned Parenthood is doing. And they're using it very consciously because they're trying to, lure people in. This is a marketing.
It's grooming. It's grooming behavior. This is what groomers do who are trying to predate sexually on children. Yeah. They identify the child, they separate the child from his or her protections, the parents, the safe adults. The predator tells the child, oh, I love you, I care about you. We'll just keep this between you and me and don't tell your parents. It's one-to-one behaviors that are grooming and predatory.
Yeah, so this could be a really hard episode for people who came in feeling very positively about Planned Parenthood. And I really hope that if that is you, that you will take some time and write Planned Parenthood and let them know that you're not okay with this predatory behavior and this new ideology that they're pushing.
I do feel like we just sat down with someone and told them, hey, your spouse is cheating on you.
Yeah.
And that's a hard conversation.
That's really how it's felt for me and for a lot of people. It's just this, I mean, and that's, it can take a while to sort of process it. Because, you know, there've been a number of instances where I've just been, you know, like, whoa, really? That's really happening? And it's really hard. It's like the rug is pulled out from under you. And it's easy just to dismiss what we're saying and say, oh, that's ridiculous. They're just, you know, they're just making that up. They're just trying to slam Planned Parenthood. And I hope that people will recognize that that's not what we're doing.
Do some research yourself.
Research. Yeah, just Google Planned Parenthood and transgender on YouTube, and it's right there. They're actively putting it out there.
Or go to Planned Parenthood and look at their For Educators. They've got their stuff on their education page. You can see what they're pushing into the schools. If you're really bold, you know, do what Aaron did. Call them and say, hey, I'm a 14-year-old and you know, what can you do for me? I'm uncomfortable with my sex. Find out what happened.
Or what that mom did. You know, all she did was she put on a hat and took off her wedding ring and walked into the clinic and told them she wanted to be a man, and she got testosterone that day.
Well, Aaron, we have one question from a viewer who said, my son, who's 19, has developed all kinds of health issues he never had before, like weird rashes, stomach problems, and joint pain. They all began right after he started taking estrogen prescribed by Planned Parenthood. He won't listen to me, and Planned Parenthood won't even take my phone call. They hang up when I say my name. What can I do?
This is so hard. And I've talked to parents whose children are going to Planned Parenthood to get hormones, and the parents are just distraught because their child has mental health issues, and they know that this child should not be on these, you know, on these hormones. And like you said, Planned Parenthood won't, they will just hang up. And it's just heartbreaking because I can't imagine being in that position of seeing your child's health deteriorating and not being able to do anything about it.
And especially he's 19.
Yeah.
So he's an adult.
Right. And that's the hardest part, is that there, you know, some parents can get medical guardianship of their children if their children have significant medical issues, developmental delays. Usually the child has to go along with it. And again, this is another area where our society has changed a lot. It used to be a lot easier for parents to get information. You know, this is, Planned Parenthood is the same as a lot of college clinics. They won't give you information. And so you can't really stop it. What you have to do is work with your child and try and build that relationship, because the clinic's gonna ignore you or hang up on you, or maybe even threaten you with a restraining order, because their whole goal here is to keep kids medicated, is to keep giving out these hormones because they are making so much money on it. So they're not gonna listen to you. You have to try and get through to your child, which I know is so hard.
Yeah, if your child has a relationship with someone else who you trust, if there's an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, someone that the child really has a good relationship with, try to leverage that if possible. Talk to that other family member or friend, let them know what's going on. Try as much as you can to sort of build a village around your child who can be speaking some truth. I don't know really what else to suggest for an adult child.
Yeah, I'm going to make one more suggestion. I'm going to plug your new book, if that's okay.
Okay.
Maria is going to be having a book published by Partners for Ethical Care. And so that is going to be a tremendous resource for parents. And I'm hoping that that will provide parents with a lot more insights, sort of a deeper dive to what we're doing here on this show. And again, we'll try and post some other resources on our page. And the other thing is, you can come to our Facebook group. We have a Facebook group for you know, support, basically, and so that you can ask questions of us, of other parents, and try to make your way through this. But again, it's hard not, I would just be infuriated if I found out that there was nothing I could do and I could see my child's health deteriorating like this. And it's just, it's such a helpless position. And it's so frustrating to me that what is ostensibly a healthcare organization is actively causing disease, actively causing a healthy body to become less functional, actively promoting, as you said, a disassociation between brain and body. It just, to me, it's just heartbreaking.
Well, this has been a really difficult topic. I feel like we say that every week. This has been a really difficult topic, but everything around this ideology is difficult. Again, we're just here trying to open up some conversations, trying to, you know, provide some thoughts, some insights, some ways for parents to move forward. So we're grateful that you joined us today. We're grateful that you gave us your time and that you're thinking about this. And we do really encourage you to do your own research, because if we're wrong, we'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
I think for both of us that we would be thrilled to be wrong about anything that we're saying.
Yeah, we would. And if you have any additional questions, feel free to go to the Partners for Ethical Care website. We have lots of resources on there, and we also have a way for you to submit a story. So if you've had an experience with Planned Parenthood, please share it with us. We'd like to know. We'd like to be able to get these documented. If you're a parent who's got a child going to Planned Parenthood, please submit a story so that we can document this. Because again, so many people are like we were 10 years ago, where we had no idea what was going on. And it's so hard to open those eyes. It's so hard to have that shift in worldview where you suddenly realize that this organization is predatory and very dangerous.
It feels like such a betrayal. It's just felt like such a betrayal to me with the schools, with the doctors, with Planned Parenthood. I just feel betrayed. Well, thank you for joining us today. Next time, we're going to talk about a related issue. We're going to talk about the problems with medicalizing children. Thank you for being here. We look forward to seeing you next time. We are not doctors or therapists. We are not giving medical or psychiatric advice, and we offer no guarantee of outcomes. We simply want to talk about how to support and love kids using long understood best practices from the fields of psychology, education, and child development. We're glad you joined in our conversation today, and we hope that you took away something you can put in your toolkit for parenting your gender-confused kids with truth and love.